immigration permit from the Ministry of the Interior came by post on June the 7th. It was dated June the 1st and was valid till the last day of the month. We had 23 days to go. Both the speed of the response and the closeness of the deadline took us by surprise. There was no way of asking for an extension. We would just have to move fast. Siegmund, Anna and I went to collect our permits the same day. It didn't take long. They seemed to be waiting for us. The clerk who received us had our dossier close at hand. He made a kindly remark about the twins, looking at their photographs pasted next to mine in my travel document, and gave each of us a declaration to sign. We left his office no longer Polish citizens, nor any other citizens either. Flowers poured into our home day and night. We often found them waiting at our front door when, exhausted and miserable, we got back from the city laden with shopping. Time was running short and we had 1,000 things to do before we could part with our country and set off into the unknown. Sorting out all the goods and chattels we had accumulated over the years was the most difficult task. We'd been ordered to empty the flat before we left, and there was very little we could possibly take with us in the car or even squeeze into a large crate we'd ordered from a shipping firm. All the furniture had to go, half our huge book collection, most of the clothes. At the same time, we still had some savings left. That would be of no use abroad. It seemed sensible to spend that money on some new things to replace old. So our minds miles away, we raced from shop to shop, randomly buying whatever was available and might be useful to us in the future. From shop to shop, we were followed by the blank-eyed men in civilian clothes. Very soon, our crate was filled and delivered to the customs at Gdansk railway station to be examined before being sealed and shipped to Israel. Siegmund and I had to now spend hours, day after day, in the heat of the customs barracks, assisting the officials in their searches. We watched helplessly as they ripped open our new quilts and pillows, tore pictures and mirrors from their frames, and turned over the leaves of 2,000 books in search of written or typed words which might sap the foundation of their powerful socialist state. There was no end to all this, and we feared we might miss the deadline unless we decided to leave the cargo behind. In the meantime, we lived in an empty flat with only beds, a carpet, and gas cooker. June that year was extremely hot, with no fridge, no proper saucepans, and very little free time. We stopped eating at home and went, all five of us, to a nearby restaurant for lunch. There were piano recitals in the restaurant every Sunday, and once, sitting together and talking about everything we still had to do, we suddenly heard one of Chopin's nocturnes, an elderly pianist playing, calling forth all the subtle undertones of that glorious music, painting a melancholy Polish landscape, telling the story of suffering with no reprieve and no end. We left our meal unfinished. Other times we stopped packing and sank into doubts when an unknown florist had sent us a huge bouquet of red and white roses, or when the watchmaker refused to take money for repairing our alarm clock. The boat went on swinging. After 8 days in the stuffy barracks, the search was finally completed. We were waiting only for a little suitcase which had been taken to the customs office at the beginning of the search to be checked more closely. It contained Siegmund's writings, the typescripts of two new books that had been accepted but then returned by the publishers. My many writings from the war, old letters, Siegmund's reading notes, sketches, notebooks, family photographs and other souvenirs I'd always kept. Sealed and strangely light, the suitcase was returned from the customs office on Friday the 21st of June. We had no idea then that they had taken all the manuscripts. They flung the suitcase onto the top of the tightly packed goods. The crate was immediately sealed and we were free to go. There were now 8 days till the deadline. On our way home through the park, followed as usual from a distance, we agreed on a secret date in two whispered words. We didn't want the agents to know when we would be leaving. It could have been dangerous. Darren.